long time ago. And I may have expressed this before, but naturally I probably present as extroverted, but naturally I'm introverted, and so these things are like, ah. But no, it's really precious to see the Lord work in our hearts and minds as we are new creations, God forming us and molding us, that we'd be far more useful to the kingdom than we ever imagined. Amen. Before we begin today, I really thought of this conversation I had with someone earlier in the week, another pastor friend of mine. Just as we talk about obedience and loving the Lord, we can't miss that part of it, that following and being having fellowship with God, it's not just this dutiful expression, but it's a joy, isn't it? You know, we can't miss that as we're serving the Lord, that we should want to serve the Lord from a heart of, you know, we look at the gospel, we see what Jesus has done for us and how his blood has covered us and atoned for our sins, past, present, and future, and just the joy we can have in walking in the freedom of God. You know, we have that Psalm of 16:11, you know, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's the God we get to serve, and that's the God we get to worship, that it is a joy to know him, to follow him, and even when we go through trials, that we can count that joy as well. And so as we get into these things we're going to talk about today, as far as multiplying disciples and making disciples, just that for us to have that platform foundation of Christ, knowing him, meditating on him, rejoicing in him, that this is available to us constantly in every area of life that he calls to be faithful to him in. And so that's the one vital thing we can't miss, that obedience is absolutely necessary, but in that, the necessity of rejoicing in the Lord is always there too. That's available to us, and that God wishes for us to walk in obedience, but loving obedience, not just dutiful. And that's the kind of testimony that changes people's lives, doesn't it? It changed our lives, hopefully. Well, that being said, I'm not going to give the verses quite yet. You saw them on the screen. Matthew 28:18-20, so we'll talk about the Great Commission, and then Acts 2:42-47, kind of the practical living out of the Great Commission. Before we begin, again, the title of Multiplying Disciples. This is an absolute necessity for the church, isn't it? Because we need to make a distinction between how we think of discipleship. Multiplication is we think of a first generation disciple training, then the next generation, the second generation, the third generation, so on and so forth. Because if we think of it in terms of addition, let's say I take someone and disciple them, and they get trained up in the Lord, but they never go on to do it themselves, that's an end. And so if all we're doing in the church as far as our discipleship is doing addition, what does that mean? That the church one day might die. Now, the universal church, I'm not addressing that, of course. God's church, there's no plan B, so God's going to continue the church on. But as far as, you know, this local church, whether it's The Rock or here at North Addison, if there's not multiplication and the church ends up dwindling, that's one less gospel influence in an area that already has so little to begin with. And so it's an absolute necessity for us to have that mindset of multiplication, that everyone in this room who has repented and put their faith in Christ Jesus is called to make disciples, every single one of us. And so one thing that's really been helpful for me as I was looking through this message is, and God's sovereignty in preparing me before this, and hopefully preparing us too, the thing I got to go over was this, has anybody gone through a study called Disciples Cross? Does that make sense to anybody? No? Okay, that's okay. So there's a few series in the book. Disciples Cross is sort of these basic disciplines we practice of being in the Word, fellowshipping with God and His people, and going out into the world and witnessing. So there's a series of books we talk about. There's one called Disciples Personnel. It's for how we surrender our character to God. The next one is Disciples Victory, Engaging in Spiritual Warfare. And the final one I'm teaching in our small group, one of the small groups we have, is Disciples Mission. That one is understanding, okay, now that we are disciples, we are to go out and make disciples. And it gave this helpful sort of view of thinking of discipleship. They call it the master builder. And so you think of it like a river, where let's say you encounter somebody that has not responded to the gospel, so they're spiritually dead, as Scripture says. They have no ability to know God or know the things of God because the Spirit has not come into their lives and indwelt them to reveal the Word and the truths there. And so all of us were there at one point in time. And as believers, we are to go to those people and witness, and then their responsibility is to respond to the gospel in faith and repentance. And as that happens, they go from a spiritually dead person to a spiritual child. You know, they're a new creation. You know, babies, all they can really do is complain, so they're going to be like that for a little while. Maybe they do a little more. I don't know. I haven't had kids yet, so I don't know. But as a spiritual child, they need to be equipped, and so we keep training them in that reality, and as they they really start to get more of the foundation of following Christ. They have a solid place down. So then they're disciples. And they're, and I want to make a distinction. It's like when we come to faith in Christ, we're all disciples. It's just what we're talking about is sort of commitment levels. It's maybe understanding or where they're at in their training. But as they become a spiritual disciple, now they're, again, they're still being trained and equipped, but they're getting to a point where they can transition from just being someone that's taking things in, where they can start teaching other people. Now they can be disciples. They can be a disciple maker. And then as they're holding on to that and making that a priority in their lives, the final step is basically a co-laborer in ministry. Someone working alongside us to come alongside, and we're not pulling them, we're not prodding them. These are people that have encountered Christ in such a radical way, and they're so committed to him, they want to bring other people into it. We don't have to ask or beg. It's just something that comes up naturally as they pursue and follow Christ. They're setting time aside and being intentional about making disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And so just, again, thinking through that river, it's just, and maybe that's a question we ask ourselves, where are we at in that? Maybe we are disciples, but we're not really intent on making disciples. I pray as we listen to this message that we're just being thoughtful about that in our own lives. And being, because one thing I want to clarify about what discipleship really is, it's, there's aspects of discipleship like what we're doing right now, like the sort of teaching setting from like someone preaching out of the pulpit, or if you have a small group or a Bible study. That's an aspect of discipleship. So is hanging out and fellowship. Those are all aspects of discipleship, but when we see Jesus doing it, it's just this very intentional setting aside of time to talk about the word, to talk about how we're going to be held accountable to it, and then to hold each other accountable as we meet and talk about those things. I mean, you guys, I'm sure, know, too, the value of having intimate fellowship with one another, whether it's one-on-one, a discipler with a disciple, or a discipler with two or three other disciples. It's the intimacy you have there. There's trust built. There's camaraderie and friendship. You're like, I trust these people, and I can confess these things, the struggles I have, whether it's sin or just that my understanding of Scripture, and just confess those things, and people come alive and say, I want the best for you, and that's why we're here. Not to have this hammer of judgment, not to say, like, you're not doing all the right things, because none of us are, but to be there for each other, to lead each other, to teach each other, and to edify each other so that we can see Jesus more clearly than we did the day before. And so, again, it's just this intentional, specific setting aside of time to lead each other in the Lord. Again, because if we're not intentional about it, here's the thing, like, imagine everybody in this room is busy, right? We all have things going on. Whether it's family, friends, whatever it is, career, anything, if we're not intentional about our time, it's just not going to happen. And so it's just thinking through that and the process that God has us in people's lives, because again, it's just that mindset of multiplication where it's like whenever anybody walks into this building and they're new or whatever, it's like either, if they're not saved, of course, we witness to them and the hope is that they come to Christ. But if not, and they are in the Lord, that's a potential disciple maker. And so that's the mindset we have, is that there's potential for everybody that walks into this room to walk with the Lord and make another disciple. Because as we think of, you know, let's say you start with 10 people, and they all make disciples who make disciples, and then those disciples go on to make disciples, and that's a movement that really can't be stopped. And I get it, it's this thing with discipleship that's tough, is like we live in a world where there's just a lot of difficult things. You know, we talk about sort of these movements against God, and it's just, it makes it hard because I think we tend to want to focus on the negative news a lot, but forget that we have a Savior that, I mean, he's overcome the world. Amen. And so that's what we have to focus on, is there's always going to be evil in the world, there's always going to be things against God, that's why Jesus had to come. But we know that the victory is ours, and the victory is going to be final, that we walk from victory because of what Christ did on the cross. We're okay, right? Again, just for all of us, that mindset of multiplication, that needs to be ingrained in us, that we need to multiply disciples, because if the church does not multiply, it's going to die. In a local church, not the universal church, I'll preface that, but a local church. And again, this area of Spokane does not need another church to die, does it? No, we need the gospel influence everywhere. Amen. But again, as we've talked about disciples, there's going to be three points I'll kind of address as we go through these verses. This won't be on the screen. But the first one I'm going to have is discipleship must be built on the foundation and command of Christ Jesus. We're going to talk about the Great Commission through that. The second is a Christ-glorifying community produces genuine discipleship, and we'll be in Acts 2:42, I believe, to 45. And then the final one would be discipleship leads to multiplication, not just addition. And that'll be the last two verses, 46 to 47. As we go through this again, what I'm trying to get at is we talk about the Great Commission, this what Jesus is sending us out to do, and then we look at the early church, the earliest inception of the church, and see how did this practically play out? How did God work within them, and what were they devoted to that allowed them to make disciples who were genuine, committed followers of Christ, who went on and did the same thing with other people? Because again, discipleship is critical. If we don't do it, if we don't make each continuous generation of disciples, just this church is going to stall out and eventually it'll just go away. Now, local church, sorry, you know, I keep saying that, but I just want to preface. The church isn't going to ultimately die. Just want to preface that. All right, but that being said, I'm going to pray and then we're going to get started. I appreciate you guys for being here. Man, it's a privilege to be amongst you again. It's a joy to be amongst God's people, even in a different congregation. Amen. Father, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for allowing all of us to be here, myself included, Lord, that we'd see the privilege of following you, of getting to know you, of meditating on the truth of Scripture. God, I just pray you bring things to mind and heart, that we would be challenged, cut if need be, but also encouraged to think of how we can walk out discipleship well, that we would not just hear these words and sort of even just interpret it in our own way, but just that we'd look to Scripture, look how Jesus discipled people and put that into practice, Lord. That we'd be intentional about being in discipleship relationships, whether that means we need to be discipled or we need to make disciples. I just pray that you wouldn't allow us to walk away from this message without doing something about it, Lord. Because discipleship is critical and an absolute necessity to see the borders of the kingdom of God grow. God, you don't need us to do these things, to expand your kingdom, but you call us to be a part of it. So I pray we'd be faithful to that end. We'd be faithful because you are faithful and that we look to your character to lead us and to humble us into steadfast, loving obedience, Father. Thank you for today. Thank you for this moment that you've set aside for these times. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So we'll get into Matthew 28, 18 to 20 as we talk about the Great Commission. Okay. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Man, how many times have we heard that passage? It's good. We need to heed it. The first thing I really want to talk about as we think of the Great Commission and us needing to make disciples, again, discipleship being built on the foundation and command of Christ Jesus, is we have to understand the foundation we're building on when it comes to discipleship. There's too many times as I've, I've been a pastor for less than a year, but just as I encounter people that talk about discipleship and how they're, they're not as being as intentional about discipling people, they're kind of just hanging out and caring for people, which is a wonderful thing. We should be doing that, but if we're never really getting to the foundation of the Word and Jesus Christ, I don't know that we're really helping people as well as we could be. And that might sound harsh, but again, it's like we're presenting the best thing we know, which is Jesus, not ourselves, but Jesus. Amen. And through that, hopefully we're representing Jesus well. Because it's, again, like we have to really wrestle with the idea that we're not to present our ideology when it comes to the foundation of Christ. We are presenting Christ. And we're not going to be perfect in that, but we need to help. As we're discipling people, we need to be rooted in the Word, and we need to teach other people to be rooted in the Word of God. That we look to the Word to test everything. Now, as we look at Scripture, is there this exhaustive list of everything we're ever going to face in life? Well, no. But is there enough for us to know what God wants for us in each situation? Absolutely. And so we have to understand the foundation that we're pointing people towards. And if it's not Jesus, we're pointing them toward a foundation that's going to crumble. Because think of the things Jesus did in his ministry, deliverance from sin. All these things that Jesus was able to do is that if we're not pointing them to that power, we're pointing them to something else that's insufficient for them to overcome sin. Because they may get over a sin or whatever it is, but they may just slide into another one. But if we're not pointing people to Jesus and we're really not doing them any favors, are we? Because if Jesus is the one that came into our lives, cleaned us off, made us whole, and made us presentable to God, why would we go anywhere else? And there's, of course, we're going to have this struggle in our hearts because sin's always going to be there, but it's just always coming back to the Word of God and saying, this is the foundation we stand on. What Jesus did, what he spoke, how God spoke in the Old Testament, of course, leading to Jesus too. All these things matter. And so we're not leading with our ideology, we're leading with Christ. His presence, His power, His majesty. We're looking to Him and not our own selves. Because what you can get is a cult of personality if you try to lead with yourself. Now, I like to think I'm pretty cool, but not that cool. Just saying. It's just because understanding part of the thing for us is that as we're sharing Christ, you know, we're sharing a movement that cannot be stopped or destroyed. That's the foundation they're standing on, is not just this new revolution that works for a little while and then goes away and go back to the status quo, but Jesus changes everything. And the more we realize that, the more we grasp that, the better we are for the sake of the kingdom. Amen. There is a quote I want to, it's not going to be on the screen, but it's from this Anglican, I believe he's a bishop, named J.C. Ryle. The quote reads, "We become Christians by faith in Christ Jesus. We stay Christians by faith in Christ Jesus, and we grow as Christians by faith in Christ Jesus." It's completely rooted in the lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. And that's the foundation we have to stand on when it comes to discipleship and what we're leading people in. And I pray that as we're reading scripture ourselves, that we're constantly thinking of these things of how did Jesus live and assessing my character by that. And that's what leads us to repentance. Because if I read scripture and just, again, it's just this moral lesson, I can look at David and say, oh, well, I didn't do all that stuff with Bathsheba. I guess I'm better than him. But then I look to Jesus and I'm not nowhere near him. That humbles me, doesn't it? Well, the next section, of course, as we talk about, is going to be verses. We'll stay in the Great Commission, but it's me, command of the Lord Jesus Christ, 19 to 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach and observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So this is a command from Jesus. This isn't a mere suggestion or good advice. It's a command that we are to be faithful in following. Because again, the foundation is built on Jesus, but we have to be obedient to what he's calling us to do. If we're not, again, we're not multiplying, we're not engaging the world with Christ. It's God does not require us to go out and glorify himself, to bring people to himself, but he calls us to be a part of it and be faithful to that. There's a lot of blessings and a lot of good things God has in store for us that we may miss because we're not being faithful to going out and being a witness for him. And as people come to faith in Christ, not discipling them. I think there's too many times in churches where this is something we can all be guilty of. This is me included, where we kind of flounder those opportunities we have to be representative of Christ, whether it's to witness or, again, to disciple. We have to have that mindset of so being so intentional about everyone we encounter, whether unsaved, we witness. If they are saved, it's like, how are they being poured into that they look and be more conformed to the image of Christ? And it's ultimately God that does that, but he asks us to be a part of it. And so we can't miss that. The command to go out. It's not a suggestion. It's not good advice. It is a command from Jesus to be a disciple who makes disciples. We cannot miss that. And if we do, we're not going to be very faithful. And we're not going to see a lot of great movement of God in our churches if we don't either. So it's sobering. That's hard. It's a hard thing to digest, but that's the reality. And there's one more point in here, is that there's encouragement for us too. When Jesus says in Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Friend, it's not just up to us to make disciples. The Spirit of God is moving inside of you to do that thing. As we read through the book of Philippians, that Philippians 1:6, a life verse of mine, where God says, you know, the work I start in you, I will see to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And we read in the second chapter, for it is God working within you to will and work his good pleasure. God is the one working inside of us to produce disciples. Christ is the one that's edifying and encouraging us to go out and do it. So this is the encouragement that as we are not alone. Of course, we think in the church today that as we are a community and congregation that come together and do these things, that's precious too, but of course that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us enabling us to be faithful to what God wants us to do. There's a thing we have to wrestle with and think about is God's not going to ask us to do something he's not going to enable us to do. If he's calling us to be faithful, sometimes there's tests, he'll ask us to do things and then we see the failure and we're like, okay, no, I got to work on this. A lot of the time it's as God asks us to do these things, the Spirit is coming inside of our lives, whether it's we need to repent of something or we need to do something more of, God's going to come and enable us to do it through his power rather than our own. And so, yes, the foundation needs to be built on Christ. The command is from Christ. But we have an encouragement that we are not alone in the task of discipleship. the task of multiplication. You know, as we're praying, just how is our prayer life when it comes to these things, as far as our witnessing, as far as our discipleship? Is, you know, God, are we asking God continually, you know, Lord, give me someone today, whether it's to share the gospel with them, someone new in church who I could, you know, talk to and encourage and set intentional time aside to disciple them? Are those kind of the prayers we're having right now? And if not, maybe things need to change. Again, this is for all of us. I need to be thoughtful about this too. You know, Lord, how am I engaging in prayer and asking God, beseeching you, Lord, who in my life right now have you set aside so that I can disciple and help them see more of you? And who have you set aside for them to do the same for me? Because iron sharpens iron. I still need to be taught some things as well. Well, a lot of things, not just some things. It's just, again, the really being intentional about following the Lord, responding and setting that foundation and understanding Jesus is the foundation. Any other foundation we build on is crumbling sand. We respond to the command by being faithful. We also understand that we're not alone in the task, that Jesus is for us in that task. He's going to enable us. He's going to help us. He's going to send people. But we also need to be faithful in our prayer life and then walk it out. Not just talk it out, but walk it out. Do something about what we hear in the Word. Because if we're just hearers, it really doesn't mean a whole lot. Knowledge is a wonderful thing, but if knowledge isn't walked out, then we really lack wisdom in that, don't we? So we've talked about it. Like, oh, this sounds great, but how does this actually work? That's a good question. We look to Scripture again now, don't we, for that. So we'll be in Acts 2:42 to 45 to go over the point of a Christ-glorifying community produces genuine discipleship. I'll start with verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Now who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Now, of course, that critical verse there is, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now, you might ask what the apostles were teaching. Of course, what did they learn from Jesus? That's what they're teaching. Now, they're aware of the Old Testament. They're aware of those scriptures. They're expressing Christ. And so what we think of practically is, like, how, as a church, what are we supposed to do? Devote ourselves to the Lord. Devote ourselves to Scripture, to people of prayer and fellowship, and sharing this common fellowship we have in Christ with each other. So if we're to do discipleship, we are not to do it alone. Our lead pastor, Danny, he likes to say there's no Rambos in the Christian world. It's kind of fun. I had to think about that. That one came to me. That wasn't in my notes. But that's true. It's like all of us, you know, there's no lone wolves, there's no Rambos. It's all of us working together. You know, devoting ourselves to the Lord, and man, it's what a blessing it is. You know, you guys have Bible studies and do these things that we get to set aside time for, to rejoice in the Lord, to grow in fellowship with Him and in each other. Again, it's not just, it's not just this dutiful thing we do, but it's something we enjoy doing. I'm trying to fight a sneeze, sorry. But just for all of us, again, to walk that faithfully out, it's just practically, as we look at the church, they were devoted to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and they were devoted to the Lord. So if we want to be disciples who make disciples, we need to have a devotion that reflects our values. And so those values need to look at the Word, look at how we're interacting with the Word, and look at how we're living it out practically. Because this is the thing with, as we think through church and as we think through the fellowship we get to have, is that this early church, I mean, they didn't really need to be dragged into the church. They didn't really need to be dragged into doing these things. They just did them because they're so in love with Jesus. So if you want to be faithful, if you feel like you're lacking faithfulness, fall more in love with Jesus than you ever have before. Be radical. That's the kind of radical action Jesus took to separate us from our sin, was the bloodshed on Calvary. And so for us to follow Jesus, there's going to be times where we need to be radical. You know, what sin needs to be expunged, what things need to be repented of, what things do we need to do more of? And not just doing more as a sense of, like, I need to do more to be righteous, but it's engaging and saying, me interacting with Christ leads me to doing what Jesus did. Not perfectly, but more and more consistently. And so as we just, again, think practically through discipleship and engaging with that, it's, we need to be so, so devoted to the Word. And just, we have, it's, again, going back to the foundation, it's, we all, to some extent, probably have some kind of ideology, if we're being honest. We just need to be honest with that reflection and assess ourselves, again, by the word. And God's going to come into our lives and help us and show us where we're failing. But oftentimes, maybe you guys aren't like me, but I tend to have to learn the hard way. That might be because I'm young and impulsive. That might have a lot to do with it. But that's just how we tend to be as sinners, right, too, is that we have to learn the hard way. So many of us, too, before we came to Christ, God had to pull the rug. And some of our scenarios, maybe God had to pull the whole house from underneath us for him to get our attention. Yeah, that's true. But just, again, this devotion we have, it's just, if we take Scripture seriously, if we're like these first century disciples, this is going to move us, right? We're not going to be a static people. We're going to be dynamic and moving and engaging the world for the sake of the gospel in Christ. Again, it's just with these things being said, it's just, if you're confused, if you have questions, don't let that pass. You know, say something about these things. Don't let this moment pass where God's moving in your life, because you may just say, I'll take care of this tomorrow. How do you know you're going to feel the same way tomorrow? You know, if God is really tugging at your heart and saying, you know, I have not been active in the movement of discipleship. I mean, you have leaders here. I know you guys are looking for a pastor, but there's leaders here that are great. I mean, you can talk to me if you want. I'm not going to be here every Sunday, but you can talk to me today if you want. I'd love to be as much of assistance as I can be, but we have to be intentional, because if we're not, we're just not going to do it. Life's busy, things are hard, and if we're not focused on this, we're just not going to do it. It's that plain, that simple. And so, intentional, set time aside to engage the world for Christ, to witness to the world, to encourage disciples as they come in, and be intentional about setting time aside to come together, talk about the word, talk about your struggles, and as the discipler, your really goal is to model a lot of that as a leader and through the Lord. And as you do so, and as you do it well in that humility, those people begin to take it up and they start to do the same with other people. Our devotion matters. And I mean, again, as we look at the church, you know, us being here is a model for how to follow Christ. And so every time we show up and do these things and we're engaged with it well, we're modeling things for Christ, even if we don't think anybody's watching. Somebody is, I promise you that. You'd be surprised. You really would. But going into the final section of Acts 2, 46 to 47, it is discipleship leads to multiplication and not just addition. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, of course, in this context in verse 47, the Lord adding to their number day by day those who were being saved relates to salvation, of course. But as we're faithful to the Lord, I was reminded of this, you know, the immediate context prior to this is Peter preaching to thousands of people, and he did not mince words, did he? If you recall that, he was pretty harsh. But what did the Lord do? 3,000 people saved in one day. And so sometimes, as we're engaging the world for the gospel and sharing the realities of sin, people may reject God and run away, but other people will see there's going to be a seed planted, is what I'm trying to say. But as God is adding to our numbers, we need to be thoughtful about engaging those people. And again, it's not just me engaging with one person and they're a disciple and we're good. It's that training them to do the exact same thing. We need to multiply, because again, if it's just addition, we don't really get very far, but multiplication extends to so many generations of people. This reality of multiplication has extended from the first century to today. We are a product of discipleship that is multiplying. Everyone in this room that has repented and put their faith in Christ Jesus, we are a product of what is happening right in the Word, in the first inception of the church. We are a product of that. Isn't that weird to think about? 2,000 years later, we're like the 500th generation. I don't know how old we'd have to be, but there we go. And so just again, we have to have a mindset of multiplication, because it's just so vital, because it's the church isn't going to move a lot. There's not going to be a lot of movement in this area or where I'm from, or it's just if there's not a desire for multiplication. Because the thing is, it's not just up to the pastors, it's not just up to the deacons, it's not just up to the leaders in the church. It's everybody in the church is called to be a disciple who makes disciples. It's not optional, it's a command. If we want to be obedient, we have to do it. And so again, we really need to take up this call and really be thoughtful about how we're engaging with it right now. To not let the moment pass where maybe there's someone on your mind to think, oh, I could do this with this person. Set that time aside, just go talk to them. I'm not as familiar with everything going on in the church, or maybe you already have some kind of discipleship program. Maybe get plugged into that. Just talk to a leader. Just do something with this message, because again, this is not optional. This is not just for the leaders. It's for every single person. Whether you're a full-time worker at the church or you're here on Sundays, every single one of us is called to make disciples. Because again, think about everybody in this room submitted to the gospel and raised a disciple. This church would double in a day, literally. It's just God. I think a lot of times God's not relying on us to go and make these movements, but I think there's more he's willing and wanting to do. But because we're not surrendered and because we're not faithful to what he's calling us to do in sort of the smaller features, we're not really prepared for him to do more than I think he wants to do. And again, God's not dependent on us to go and do these things, but I think he's trying to help us see things from his point of view. To say that as we're being faithful in the little things, God's going to be faithful, give us more and more as we walk that out. Because God, again, like he's our father. He's trying to teach us things. He's trying to show us things. He's trying to help us. He's trying to model us to look like our eldest brother, Jesus Christ. And so we have to really go through some things to get this. And I think many of you in this room have encountered Christ. You see the validity of needing discipleship, because for me, it's like, I would be so, so lost if I did not have the people in my life willing to tell me things I didn't want to hear but needed to hear. If they weren't willing to hold me accountable to the word, I don't know that I'd be here today in the way I am now. I'd still be very lost. I'd still be very broken. But in Christ and through the people he has sent into my life that have been willing to say those things I need to hear, I've been modeled and conformed to the image of Christ in a way I never could without it. God can sort of allow us to kind of venture out on our own for a time, but I think in that time it's because he helps us understand that we need fellowship with him and, of course, his children. Because, like you said, there's no Rambos, we really can't do it alone. We might feel like we can, but when you burn out, you'll start to realize that it's not possible to do it on your own. Jesus sent out his 12. One of them was a turd, but he sent them out. So just really as we get thinking of generational discipleship, that really sticking in our heads, not just hearing this, but really, really sort of chewing on and digesting multiplication, not just addition, but multiplication. Who can I do discipleship with, and how can I encourage them to end up doing it with someone else? They don't need to know absolutely everything, but it's just having them have a foundation of Jesus, those hallmarks of the faith where what's their prayer life like? How are they reading the word, and how are they reflecting that in their lives? Are they just talking about the context of scripture and not the reality of how God's shaping their character? And just encouraging them and helping them see what it's like to live in the word and to have that, walk it out and abide in the Lord, as I think I expressed last time I was here, John 15:5. If we abide in Christ, we'll bear much fruit. From apart from him, we can do nothing. And so it's teaching people to have that abiding faith in the Lord. And as they do that, and as you work through them, and as you coach them and model for them, they have something to stand on to go and do that with somebody else. And again, as we're modeling that, we're modeling Christ, not ourselves. Well, we all have personalities, but it's in that, the surrender before Christ, that's what we're modeling. The humility before God. Because it's as I've encountered people that just have that godly wisdom, that godly peace about them, I want that. I want to be like that. I want to know how they got there. And as we do it, it's such an encouragement to see, because I think it's so wonderful, again, to see people getting baptized for the Lord and see people transfer from the kingdom of death and into life. But man, it's something really beautiful about someone encountering Christ and beginning to see more of him and say, Jesus is wonderful, precious, good, and why would I want to serve anybody other than him? And when people really get that, when people are transformed and the sin doesn't have a hold on them in the way it used to, that's just, it is one of the most encouraging things in the world. And of course, we don't always see that. So we come back, there's things at times where people just don't get it. And that's the thing for us is that if people in this process of discipleship they're not getting it. Maybe they're not making church a priority, or they're just not doing these things. It's not that we don't care for them anymore, but we, and you may not like me saying this, but we got to run with the runners. It's not saying we abandon those people and say you're on your own. It's just say, hey, I'm here when you're ready. I'm here. I love you. I care for you. If you have a need or anything, just let me know. The discipleship really isn't going to work if you're not going to be committed to it. Because here's the thing, guys, it's encouraging to have people get a hold of the Lord and start to walk with them, but it's also draining to have somebody that just is, you just need to drag all the time. That's the other unfortunate sober reality, is that there's going to be some people that are just not ready. It's not that they're not saved, necessarily. It might not be that they're not as, well, the commitment level just isn't there, I guess what I'm trying to say. And so when that happens, you encourage them, but just say, hey, I'm here when you're ready. Because that's going to be a reality for us, is that there's going to be people that are going to explode for the Lord, and there's going to be people that are going to flounder at times too. But wherever we're at, we're in life, us engaging with discipleship, us engaging with witnessing to the world, that's the vital thing that's going to produce that too. And so as I close this, it's just, again, what are we going to do with what we heard today? You know, for us, maybe it's us growing in the Lord. How often, what is our prayer life like? What is our life like as we're reading the Word? And how are we really in fellowship with God and also with His people? Is church a priority or is it not? Is fellowship with God and the Word a priority or not? Is praying to the Lord and seeking Him and adoring Him and confessing these things to Him a priority or not? Those are the questions we really need to ask ourselves and say, you know, how am I faithfully walking with God where He has me? Because if we want more, the only way for us to encounter God more is to be obedient to what He's calling us to do right now. And so if we need to be disciples who make disciples, take somebody alongside you, or maybe multiple people. But if you need to be discipled, take that step too. Guys, the gospel is too important. Jesus shed His blood in such a way that we can't afford to do nothing. We really can't. Guys, sin is serious, it's dangerous, and it leads people to hell. But as believers, sin can destroy us too. I have seen many, many people who just refuse to submit, who refuse to understand their identity in Christ, and they didn't see it that way. There's just a lack of surrender and a lack of communion before God, and to be quite honest with you, their life is chaos, and it is a very poor witness to the Lord. I'm not saying that to shame them or to make anybody in this room that's perhaps engaged in that feel bad. It's just for us, like, guys, this is so serious. For us to not be disciples and for us to not make disciples, it affects everything. I mean, it's like with our kids, how they look at us, our workforce, how they look at us. They're seeing, in a lot of ways, our representation of Christ may be the only one they ever get to witness. Because that's how little Christian influence there is in the city, if we're being honest. There's Christian values and principles, but the genuine Christ-likeness that we are allowed to display as we have submitted to the gospel, it's not a lot. It's not, again, God is completely sovereign, and He's capable of doing anything He wants. He's not dependent on us to do those things, but it's just in this area, for some reason, there's just not as much of an influence. We can change that. Through the power of Spirit, of course, but that can be changed. A movement of God that this area perhaps has never seen, it can start in all these churches around here as we unite in fellowship and saying Christ is Lord, and we make no compromises with that. And say, it's Jesus or nothing. It's the narrow path to Jesus, or it's the wide path that leads to destruction. We stand there. We follow our convictions there. And we see how God leads people, because one thing we have to really realize, I can't remember who said this quote, but it's what we capture people with is what we keep people with. And so that's, again, as discipleship, we're not capturing people with ideology. We're capturing people with the foundation that Jesus died for the remission of our sins, and that His blood was shed on Calvary that we might know God and we might become the righteousness of God. And so this is serious. This is a big deal. We need to encounter the gospel. We need to express Christ well. And as we're doing those things, as people come in, we need to be intentional about discipling them and saying, you know, how can we help one another be accountable to the Word? And as we're confessing these things we struggle with, lovingly call people out when we need to be called out. It's a wonderful thing when we do it the right way. We're not sitting in this hammer of judgment over each other, but just because we love each other and want the best for each other in Christ, we're willing to express things that need to be said, right? And so for us as believers, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about this? How are we going to be disciples who make disciples? How are we going to be a disciple ourselves? How rooted in the Word are we? How rooted in prayer are we? What's our prayer life like? What are we seeing in Scripture? How is God modeling us? Is Scripture just something we do, or anything as far as prayer, Scripture, fellowship with the Lord, or fellowship with believers in the church? Are these just sort of things we do just because we've been doing them? Or has God just changed our heart in such a way that we want to be here because this is how the Lord transforms us? Because church is not just a social club. It's a place for us, the children of God, to come together, to be edified, to go out into the world and be a force for Jesus. But maybe there's some of us in the room who have not put our faith in Christ, because you can't even begin to do any of these things if you do not know Jesus. Submit to Him. The reality is, if we have not submitted to Jesus, our expectation from God is not love and forgiveness, but wrath and judgment. That may sound harsh, but that's the reality for us, is that we were born into this world with a sin nature that, and our bent is to rebel against God. Our bent is to not do what God wants. Everybody in this room has struggled with that prior to coming to Christ. We were all in that state, but God, who is rich in mercy, presented His Son, perfectly God and perfectly man, to come and atone for our sins and die on the cross, taking the wrath of God so that we could receive His grace and mercy rather than the curse. Jesus took the curse so that we would receive the blessing. And Jesus received a crown of thorns so that we could receive a crown of life. Submit to Him, because He is a good Savior. He is a friend to sinners. We have to submit to Him. Not just as this expectation of Him being a moral teacher, but Him being God. And so with that being said, I think this is a time of course, the band starting to come up, and just a time for invitation as well. Just whatever it is that you need to do, if it's submitting to the gospel, and let today be the day of salvation. If it's just need to confess, or just say, you know, I haven't been faithful to making disciples, or I haven't been faithful just to following the Lord, let that be a time of this too. Just whatever it is, just don't let this moment pass. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not even promised the next moment necessarily. But we have this moment now, and make the best of it for Christ, because He is a good Savior, He is a good friend, He is a good Lord, but we're not going to really encounter that very well if we're not submitted to Him. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for being a church submitted to the cross. Now let us encourage each other all the more again as the day approaches. Amen.